take another one later, I guess. So it's not weird. So how'd you guys sleep?
Pretty good.
Day one down. Night two down. I guess this could be considered a halfway point, maybe. I don't know. Depends on what time you leave Monday. But well, I'm Jeremy Gebhardt. I am the youth leader for Grace Church. Not Grace Bible Church, different. Grace Church. And I'm thankful to be here with Alex and Jason, kind of just partnering with them to continue the legacy of Snow Trip. And when Pastor Dave, Pastor Mark, Pastor Ben kind of passed the baton last year, they gave the messages. So they were the speakers, and that was kind of like their last little contribution to Snow Trip and to you guys. And so as coming in, as the new leaders continuing this awesome thing with Snow Trip, we felt like it was a good idea, as Jason expressed yesterday, to share testimonies of ourselves, and then for the Diva. That way you guys can get to know us a little bit. You know, with the freshmen in the room, you'll get us all 4 years. Unfortunately, you didn't get to be here with them, but that's okay. And so for me, my testimony, I'm 31. So, okay, I have two kids. But 31, I've had a lot of experiences already in my life, and I've done quite a bit of different things. As I revealed yesterday during the message, I actually was in Afghanistan for a short period of time, and I had one of my odd jobs I had to do. We all kind of had to pitch in, and mostly we hired out to the locals, but you had to like pour diesel fuel in the trash barrels that we went to the bathroom in, and you had to burn it and then make sure it got stirred up really good and everything got burned. So technically I was on the clock, so I consider that a job. I had multiple jobs when I was over there, but yeah, definitely odd job. Not many people get to say that they burned poop. And so I wanted to clarify that from yesterday's message, just so you guys are like, it's an odd thing to do. But yeah, my testimony started when I was young. I grew up in the church, just like so many of you. I apologize, I'm like struggling here. I was saved as a young child and grew up in the church. We were very faithful, going to church every Sunday, multiple times, like Jason said, you know, going to different things throughout the week. And it was business as usual for a long time, right? And there wasn't much in my life that I feel like I was experiencing at that point. You know, you guys are all in high school, and you might be going through different things. But one thing I can say looking back is when you're saved as a kid, it's kind of one of those things where, like, what are you saved from? You know, like, mentally, as a child, like, because you pushed your brother or because you were selfish. I think we all know that we were born into a sin nature, but at that point in life, you haven't really experienced much. And so as your life progresses, you're going to be hit with thing after thing after thing that's going to test your faith if you were saved as a kid. Or you're going to maybe realize that you never were saved all along, and that you need to correct that. And that's only something you can decide. And hopefully my testimony can kind of help you understand with my story. It wasn't until I was a junior in high school, I came to Snow Trip my junior year. And the night that I got back, we got home and my parents decided and said, hey, we need to sit down, we need to talk. And so they sat me down, and I'm one of three. So my other brothers already were aware. I was basically, because the weekend, everything had transpired over the weekend. And so they sat me down and basically revealed to me that they were getting a divorce. So, you know, it's these trips, especially as a leader, we want to see you guys take two steps forward on a weekend. But we acknowledge that you're probably going to take one step back when you get into the real world again, right? When you're not amongst Christians and the iron sharpening iron. But it, for me, it was like 2 steps forward and like 10 steps back at that point. And with that new news in my life and everything changing, I mean, not much in the household stuff changed. My dad was a truck driver over the road, so he was gone a lot anyways, but it just was different, right? And so there's a lot of struggles. My parents were now divorcing, and that actually drug out, drug out all my whole junior year, my whole senior year, mostly because I was the youngest. And so the moment I graduated from high school, you know, there's, of course, look at it a little differently. So the divorce was never finalized until after I graduated. And so that was just a struggle for our family. And ultimately, for me, it was just, I entered a state of rebellion and to my parents. And I still continue to go to youth group because it wasn't as if I had just turned my back on God or anything like that. There obviously was some feelings of, I grew up in this home where these things weren't even discussed. They weren't even, and scripturally, right, it's not even supposed to happen. And so you do question certain things. And with that, over time, I would rebel, right? I would, basically, I was dating this girl at the time, and my junior and senior year, and they basically like adopted me in their family. I think I had dinner at their house more than my own for those 2 years. And I spent pretty much all my time there, and I would hang out with friends, and on school nights, I would come home 1 or 2 in the morning, and, you know, my mom would just ask me, where were you? And I would say, oh. And I would just go to my room. And it was a struggle, too, because my parents didn't want to be the bad guy. Right, this was new territory for them too, to be parents and experience this, and so it was challenging, you know. And playing sports, like again, my girlfriend's dad actually was one of the football coaches, one of the defensive back coaches, and I was a defensive back. I was also a wide receiver, but for defense, I was a defensive back, so I was under him a lot. And when after a football game, when he would say good job. It meant a lot, right? And then to look in the stands, and my own parents weren't even there half the time, and it was a really, really, really hard time for me to go through that. But the real struggle, I still maintained my faith for the most part. I was living a sinful life, but I was still attempting to follow the Lord, and it wasn't until after I graduated that summer, I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do. I actually graduated a semester early to go to the Carpenters Union. I thought I wanted to go to trades, but after doing that for about 8 months, I decided I was going to go back to school. So I wanted to go to college, and so I attempted to see, you know, who was going to help pay for it, what was going to happen, and because I wasn't really ever a plan, and it basically fell on deaf ears. I didn't have any assistance. My mom wasn't able. She was in a car accident and hurt her back really bad, so wasn't working. My dad just basically said no. And so that first year, I worked really hard. I was a waiter and at waiting tables and just worked every night trying to get going to school during the day. And it was my second semester. I realized I wasn't going to be able to pay for it, right? And so I ended up joining the military. But this time between going to school and this decision to join the military was probably the darkest time in my life. Because after my dad already said, no, I'm not going to help you pay for college, we also learned that the moment I graduated, again, my mom wasn't working, so he stopped all payments to our mortgage. And so I was 18, so about September-ish when I turned 19, we got a foreclosure notice on our house, and we basically got booted, me, my brother, and my mom. And so now not only am I trying to figure out how to pay for college, I'm trying to figure out how to pay for this apartment that my brother and I are living in. And basically all along, when I was avoiding the parties, I was avoiding doing the things that you shouldn't, I became the person throwing the parties. I became the person doing the things that you shouldn't just because, out of pure rebellion. And, you know, it's a struggle, but I look at, as a leader now, looking at the kids in my group who come from difficult situations too. Parents divorced, and they're a lot stronger than I am. But I was. And that's a credit to them. And hopefully, you know, I don't even know that I've shared a lot of this stuff with them. I know I've shared some, but sorry, I was hoping I wouldn't. But I did. I really just hit the deep end. And so as time just progressed and I joined the military, I finished my first year of college and ended up going to basic in September of the next year. So I had to take the whole year off of school. And all that time, you know, I had time to reflect, time to kind of get over some of my bitterness. But I still was not in the right place. And so I went to basic, and it was a really good time for me to be away from everyone and everything and really kind of have a fresh start. And so I made that commitment. And the first day that I got off the bus and went into the, the headquarters where they start to give you all your shots and do everything, I decided it was going to be different for me. And I started reading scripture at night in my bunk. Again, I was pretty much all alone, didn't really know anybody. And so I would just be by myself reading scripture. And it wasn't long, actually, until some guys, you know, a lot of people are probably questioning their life decisions and stuff in that atmosphere. And so we're all kind of going through, all the other soldiers going through this together. And I actually started to get the label of ref. Like all the other soldiers in there, instead of calling me Gebhardt, you know, we usually go by our last name, they started calling me Rhett. Hey, Rhett. Hey, Rhett. And so I was really bothered by that, because all they knew about me was this guy who read scripture in his bed, in his bunk at night, and I knew the last year of my life was horrible. I was horrible. I didn't deserve any sort of acknowledgement that I was good or anything else, and I just it really, really bothered me. And most people would be like, oh, that's so cool, man, he called you. And no, it truly bothered me. I was, because I felt so guilty. I felt like a failure. I felt like a fraud, like a fake. So I actually, instead of like praying, and actually there's a lot of scripture that defends this anyways, right? The Sermon on the Mount talks about when you pray, don't pray in public. So I started just carrying my tray to my table. I would pray along the way. I wouldn't pray when I sat down. I started eliminating where anyone could see what I was doing, because I didn't want that title, because I was a failure. And so as time went on and everything, it just continued. And it was just like a nickname at that point, I guess. I don't know. But things just continued. And so I was going to chapels on Sundays and different things, and building relationships with people and understanding scripture more. I was actually diving into the word and learning. And I'll read some passages. I came across a passage in Romans. My answer. Romans 8. 38 and 39, and it says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, nor the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor heights nor depths, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." That verse just became this like pinnacle for me. It just allowed me to overcome, to realize that even though I felt like a failure, that everything that I had done and just the troubles that I had gone through, Christ loved me that entire time. And I don't believe that I hit a period in my life where I realized oh, I was never saved. I truly believe that I was saved as a child. I truly believe that. Because I can look at the work of God in my life that entire time. And you have different examples in Scripture. Peter literally denounced Christ. And, you know, there's just periods of time where you hit these roads, right? David, he was the man after God's own heart. Yet, he continually was disobedient, right? He had an affair, and then he killed the wife, or the Bathsheba's husband, just to cover it up, like, right? So, and he was the man after God's own heart. And it tells us here that no matter what, the love of God is always with us. And so I began to understand, and then I came across another verse, and you have a lot of people, especially when you go into the military, you have a lot of people that come from different backgrounds. I was actually in a unit with a guy who was a Wiccan, which is a witch. And so you experience a lot of different people, a lot of different interpretations of Scripture and stuff like that. But the one thing, and so you had a lot of people who believed faith by works as well. And so one of the things that came up a lot was that you can't earn your way to salvation. And one of the things that I was doing by completely omitting the works in my life was I was trying to prove that at the same time of the bitterness of them calling me a wreck, right? I was upset that I had this background, but once I realized that it was me who was basically running from that relationship from God, he was always there. That relationship never stopped. The love that he had never stopped. It was just my view of that love. And it wasn't until I realized that, and then I came across the passage in James, and it talks about faith without works is dead. And it says, in the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by actions, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, and I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. And I'm not trying to say that my deeds of sitting there, reading Scripture, was an example of demonstrating my faith to other people, right? But in a way, at this point in my life, looking back, and at that point in my life, realizing that my faith, or my works, my deeds there, was an action of my faith. I wasn't trying to prove anything, I wasn't trying to hide anything. It was just a response. It was my attempt to try to correct my relationship with God. And we saw that in Jeremiah with the Israelites, where they had backslidden, and God called them out on that. And it even says that their backsliding, their sin, will rebuke them. And all the same while, that's what I was going through. I was rebuking myself because of my actions. And all of that allowed me to correct myself. And I'm confident that I wouldn't be standing here today. I wouldn't be the leader of this group, these kids, if I didn't have these experiences. If my parents didn't divorce and I didn't rebel, I don't know that I would have. It probably would have been business as usual and just staying the status quo, and that's it. And so you guys all come from various backgrounds. You know, people grow up in church, do become pastors. People who grow up in church, rebel, do become pastors or leaders, right? Every story is different, but you all have a unique story. And the one thing I want to encourage you about is, if you're going through stuff, you need to realize that that's probably your way to understand the love of God. And we know that we're to consider trials, right? We're supposed to find joy in our trials, which is usually hard to do. But we can, and we can find the love of God through trials. And God goes after those who are hurting, and he uses the weak, and he uses the people who are the least expected to do great things for him. And I hope that I can fulfill that for him. I can be his vehicle to do great things. And I would ask that you pray for me, because even though I'm standing here as a leader in front of you, I need strength. I need prayer. I need support. I need the love of God just as much as you guys need the love of God. And I need to rely on him just as much as you guys. It just, maybe the difference is I've experienced things in my life that have allowed that to become stronger. But I don't know most of you guys, right? So the question is what is happening in your life? What are you guys doing? Are you going to go home from here, and the night you go home, something terrible happens and your life changes. And you're just, are you going to allow that to just overcome you and make you run away, or is it going to make you stronger and make you rely on Christ's love? We keep talking about grace this weekend, and that's really what it all comes down to. We'll never be able to resist his love and his grace. So let's pray. I want to pray for you guys. Dear Father, we just are humbled to be here today and just be showered with your love. Lord, and as we come to worship in the many ways, through song, devotionals, message, or just fellowship, Lord, that we can glorify you with our words, with our actions. Lord, I ask that if anyone in here is struggling with something, that they can realize that your love is stronger than whatever they have. And Lord, I just ask that you put that burden on their heart and help them to realize it. And Lord, I just thank you for helping me to overcome and to realize that same love. Lord, I just thank you for this opportunity that I can be here and continue to spread your gospel and spread your word and make an impact on other people's lives, ultimately to bring glory to your name. And we just thank you for your love, your endless love. In your name, amen.